Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. Please pardon me to commence my remarks this morning with apologies. The first apology for delaying the commencement of the meeting of the committee. For reasons beyond our control or reasons that were not foreseen, on our way here we were held up in traffic because of an accident. But the second apology to honorable members of the committee is to tender an apology on behalf of my minister, Advocate Michael Masuta, the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services, who is unable to himself lead the department's presentation of plans to the committee today due to ill health, as members may be aware. The minister is out of hospital. The minister is back on duty, but due to conditions put to him, strict conditions put to him by his doctors, he is unable to travel to Cape Town. And that is the reason why he's not here. having said that, honorable members, the leadership of the department has just introduced itself, the Department of Correctional Services. It's led by the National Commissioner. And they will be presenting to the committee the annual plans of the department and our strategic plans. In that context, let me just indicate to honorable members as a reminder that this year marks the midterm of our medium-term strategic framework, 2014-2019, which is the medium-term strategic framework of the fifth administration since the dawn of democracy in our country in 1994. The medium-term strategic framework 2014-2019 constitutes the first full 5 years of the implementation of the National Development Plan, Vision 2030, as we are all aware. The presentation by the department will indicate the amount of progress we've made thus far on the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework. The strategic plans will indicate what remains to be done in the remainder or of the term of this administration, and the annual performance plans will indicate, as you know, what we commit to do and actively achieve in the next 12 months, commencing on the 1st of April 2017, towards the achievement of the overall goals and desired outcomes as we have set ourselves in the medium-term strategic framework. These plans, I should mention, have been developed against the backdrop, as we are all aware, of prevailing unfavorable global and domestic economic conditions. The Department of Correctional Services, honorable members, has the mandate and responsibility to ensure that in our country, offending behavior of citizens is corrected in a safe, secure, and humane environment. The events of the recent months, they have graphically demonstrated the challenge that we are facing as a department in that respect. And in particular, it is important for us to make reference to the judgment of the Cape High Court that was handed down by Judge Saldana against the Department of Correctional Services at the end of last year, which judgment had to do with what were perceived and understood to be serious conditions that were not in keeping with what was expected of the department in the way in which the incarceration of citizens and the correction of their behavior is proceeding at Paulsmoor Prison. We have been put on terms by the courts with respect to that, and this speaks to matters pertaining to accommodation, cleanliness, health, the infrastructure in which offenders are kept there, the repertoire in the provision of meals to offenders. All of these issues are what is addressed in Judge Saldana's judgment. We must make the point here that the deviations that are referred to in that judgment invariably obtain in a number of our correctional centers, for the simple reason because that the number of correctional centers that are overcrowded in this country is very huge. And as a result of this overcrowding, the conditions which we must observe as far as standards are concerned now and again are being compromised. The judgment has caused that the department should now on a monthly basis provide reports on how we are proceeding in relation to Paulsmoor in reducing overcrowding there, but also dealing with the other conditions that I've just referred to. It gives one a sense of how challenging the business of correction is becoming to our country in relation to the resources we have, infrastructure and human resources that the government is able to dedicate to make sure that there is a secure custody, and in that secure custody at the same time we also make sure that the inmates are rehabilitated and that they are given a second chance to become constructive individuals in their communities. Tangible progress, of course, is visible from all the 243 correctional centers countrywide. In the 2015-2016 financial year, 59,790 centers offenders were subjected to correctional programs. 10,054 inmates enrolled for adult education and training, and 1,035 participated in further education and training. It is therefore not surprising that in grade 12, we recorded a pass rate of 72.1% in the previous year. We are encouraged that the compliance levels with parolees and probationers, they have improved to reach a historic 98%. The number of victims participating in the restorative justice process is also gradually increasing. And this paradigm shift is pushing us to constantly evaluate our approach to some of our programs. Our quest to fight tuberculosis has seen 82% of offenders being treated, whilst inmate testing for HIV and AIDS is standing at 99%, and the provision of antiretrovirals is at 97.9%. Honorable Chairperson, the overcrowding phenomenon that we are currently grappling with clearly demonstrates that we need to rethink our approach towards incarceration. Building a credible community corrections and supervision capacity could be a new archetype to be explored. We also need communities to play their role and assist in the social integration of offenders and ex-offenders. In order to improve efficiency and effectiveness of the current parole system, which is very important as part of our penal system, the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services requested a review of the parole system during 2015. As honorable members would be aware, consequently, the National Commission appointed a task team which has since developed a draft position paper on a revised parole system for South Africa, and it is currently being consulted with internal and external stakeholders. A separate legislative process, which will include regulations and delegations, is also underway. At this stage, the draft parole bill is pending finalization of the position paper. The revised parole system will contribute positively towards effectively managing the inmate population levels, although solutions to overcrowding to a greater extent still require interventions across the entire JCPS cluster. Furthermore, a draft position paper on the interstate prisoner offender transfer of sentence foreign offenders or foreign nationals is being formulated in consultation with all stakeholders and relevant departments. Chairperson, it is my view that at this point I should call on the National Commissioner to present the plans of the Department of Correctional Services for the financial year 2017-2018, and later on I could come back to highlight some of the areas that from the Ministry would want the committee to note as you oversee the implementation of these plans in the course of the year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. What I would like to hear from the members is if members are comfortable with us just continuing, or you want to actually make some comments on the overview. We are all fine. We have a senior member sitting right at the end, member Hanekom. Can you come and sit here so that we can get your full participation?
I've not yet been allocated to any committee, Chairperson.
You're welcome
I'm
here today.
I'm joining you, and I will only be able to stand for 10:30.
It's okay. May I take the opportunity of handing over to Commissioner Mudise. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and honorable members of the committee. Deputy Minister Magwetla, thank you very much for putting me on the platform. Chairperson, what I'll do is to make some remarks. Thereafter, I will request the Chief Financial Officer to do for us the financials regarding the EME, and then the CDC to conclude the presentation. In our quest as a department to build a fair, prosperous, and law-abiding society, the Department of Correctional Services has structured its programs in such a manner to ensure that those that have been sentenced to serve time, leave our facilities as law-abiding citizens who reject crime, are able to overcome impulsiveness, and who will eventually make a positive contribution to society rather than causing pain and harm. The 2017-2018 Annual Performance Plan encapsulate the department's predetermined objectives for the next financial year as well as the performance targets we have set ourselves in pursuit of a safer South Africa. Honorable Chairperson, indeed, effective management of our correctional centers demands both internal accountability as well as external scrutiny. This area of external scrutiny includes prioritization of the role that is played by the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services, known as JICS. As legislated in Chapter 9 and 10 of the Correctional Services Act, as amended, the JICS requires sufficient support as it serves as a linchpin to promote transparency and accountability. And such accountability provides both a form of protection for offenders from harm and assurance that the rights of offenders are not being infringed upon. As mentioned by Deputy Minister Makweta, the issue of overcrowding continues to be a perennial challenge for the correctional system worldwide. And honorable members of this House are well aware of what the Deputy Minister has mentioned, the court action pertaining to the same Sonke gender justice in terms of overcrowding. Our approach to deal with this challenge as a department goes beyond the court ruling of merely reducing the number of persons detained at the Portsmouth Remand Detention Facility. We have commissioned an investigation to identify current trends in the detention of awaiting trial persons, especially at our major correctional centers known as the Big Five, to better equip and inform not only the action plans and strategies of the Portsmouth Remand Detention Facility, but the formulation of a national policy in this regard. More critical to note is that we have also included in the planning the JCPS cluster, and there is agreement that there is a need for continuous engagement and a collective approach at national, provincial, and local levels to find lasting solutions to the challenges of overcrowding in our correctional centers nationwide. And this is not only a correctional services problem. We remain steadfast also in creating additional bed space over a 10-year period, and we have started to engage the Department of Public Works as well as National Treasury. This will assist us in dealing with some of the overcrowding challenges that we have. And honorable members, the majority of our infrastructure is aging. Thus, we have revitalized our infrastructure improvement plan aimed at refurbishing and improving some of our facilities. And looking at the numbers of offenders in our correctional centers, which continue to increase, we are left with no choice but to motivate for new facilities to be constructed, especially in the major metropolitan areas. As I've mentioned, the safety of our citizens is a national imperative, and to this end, crime prevention and advancing security within our communities requires correctional services to achieve a balance between rehabilitation, reintegration, and restorative justice. Restorative justice, which is key, and as a department, we continue to invest in programs such as victim-offender dialogue. Those in conflict with the law realize the harm they have caused to society must find means to reconcile with the victims. We are delighted with the sound progress we are making in information communication technology infrastructure, as we are replacing the old system with reliable, integrated, and secure business application systems. This is also supported by progress we are making in the integrated inmate management system, which is a biometric technology that will assist in the identification of inmates within our center. This will ensure that we have accurate information on each offender in terms of admission and release. And as part of a phased approach, we are scheduled to commence implementation during the first quarter of the 2017-20 financial year. It's a fact that with the dwindling budget facing all organs of state, we have to be more innovative and think differently so that we can achieve more with less. A reduction of 234 million on the budget estimate for 2018 and 2019 meant that we need to review our five-year targets in order to be more realistic. And it is therefore important to have a proper performance framework to outline how we as a department are spending taxpayers' money to ensure a safe South Africa and indicate whether we are improving the second chances of offenders released from our custody. I'm optimistic that our delivery impact in 2017-18 will be better than 15-16, which saw us receiving the first unqualified audit since the dawn of democracy. The organizational structure will also ensure that there is synergy in our planning versus operations which is key in terms of meeting our state targets. As correctional services, we'll continue to deliver our mandate, be accountable to this August House, and work with all stakeholders to transform our correctional system for the benefit of South Africans. Chairperson, I thank you and members of the committee. I would request the CFO to go ahead with the financials of the national expenditure, and then also indicate how we will then implement the plan 2017-2018 as will be presented by Mr. Joseph Katenga. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. As was the case in 2016-17, we are presenting a budget at a time when we've got limited financial resources, and we are obviously going to be faced with these budget cuts, and that means that we have to reprioritize most of the funding and resources towards core programs. As you will see in the E&E as well as the presentation, we've reprioritized funds towards rehabilitation. I will start off the presentation on slide 32, where we are indicating the focus areas. There are three focus areas, which is to protecting society by detaining inmates in safe, secure, and humane conditions in correctional centers and remand detention facilities. That is mainly on program two, which is incarceration and care. On program three, the second one is on correcting offending behavior by providing sentenced offenders with needs-based rehabilitation programs and interventions. And the last one is on social reintegration, which is building safe communities by reintegrating offenders into communities as law-abiding citizens. These were, of course, informed by Chapter 12 of the NDP, and outcome three, which is about all people in South Africa are and feel safe, as well as the 2014-19 MTSF medium-term strategic framework. On the next slide is a presentation of allocations with baseline information from 2013-14 per program, as well as economic classification. In 2017-18, the department has been allocated 22.8 billion, which is a growth from 21.5 billion of only 5.7%. In that nominal increase of 5.7% is below the headline CPI forecast of 6% during the MTBTS period. So there is indeed going to be pressure, of course, from an adjustment point of view, because we are growing below CPI. I will move on to the details of the budget baseline reduction. The primary allocation for this year was received in October 2016, were also modified on the recommendation of the Minister's Committee on the Budget, which was approved by Cabinet on 7 December 2016. In 2017-18, the allocation is 22.8 billion. In 2018-19, it increased to 24.4 billion, which is a year-on-year increase of 7.2%. In 2019-20, it is 26.1 billion, which is a 6.96% year-on-year from the previous financial year. In the immediate year, we have a lower growth of 5.7%, whereas in the two outer years, there's an increase which is around 7% on both years. On the budget baseline reductions continued, austerity measures which were introduced have seen the department receiving a reduction in its budget of 234.8 million in 2017-18, 247 million in 2018-19, and 272.7 million in 1920, which were effected on both compensation of employees and payment for capital assets. In 2017-18 financial year, 175 million has been reduced on compensation of employees, and I'll later indicate the impact of that of those cuts on our funded establishment. Again, 59 9.3 million was reduced from payment for capital assets, which will be mainly on machinery and equipment. In response to this, since last year in the third quarter, we've implemented stringent revised cost containment measures, which took effect on the 1st of November to ensure that the budget reductions and the material budgetary shortfalls, mostly on municipal services, which is electricity and water, we are able to obviously fund through reprioritization. And I think it's important we are mentioning municipal services because if you look at our needs in terms of the value, the amount that we need for municipal services, our need is 1.5 billion, but we only have 902 million allocated towards electricity and water, which is a big shortfall for the department to carry through reprioritization. The following allocations on slide 36 will be listed as specifically and exclusively appropriated in the 2017 appropriation bill. These are repairs and maintenance of correctional centers and other facilities of 159 million, the upgrading and rehabilitation as well as refurbishment of correctional centers of 667 million, as well as compensation of employees budget of 15.7 billion. The department compensation ceilings have been set incorporating the reductions over the MTEF period as approved by Cabinet. In 17-18, we have a COE allocation of 15.7 billion, which increases to 17.035 billion in 18-19, and in the outer year of 19-20, it is 18.334 billion. During the previous financial year, which has ended in March, the department ensured that we don't effect violence on compensation of employees. That way, we're able to ensure that we use funds for compensation towards appointing and capacitating the department, and we hope to do so in the coming years as well. Continued in terms of the impact of the COE on this next slide, the indication in terms of the projections is that we have a staff establishment of 42,006, but if we look at the impact of the cuts, there will be a 5.64% reduction in the funded establishment in 17-18. That cumulatively means that will be 2,371 posts that would not be funded. If we move to 18-19, due to the same cut, there will be a cut of cumulatively 8.26% of the funded establishment. That nominally, that is 3,470 posts. And in the outer year 1920, we will have a 8.78%, which translates to 3,688 posts that are not funded. And that, of course, will have an impact on the operations of the department on the outer year. Although, Chairperson, we've reprioritized and ensured that the core programs for rehabilitation and social reintegration do not suffer the blow of the cuts. If we look at rehabilitation, there is an increase of 18.8% as well as social reintegration of 13.5%. The next slide just deals with, shows the PEP program at a high level, what is the allocations over the 3 years, the five programs, but we'll go into the comments on the next slide of each program. Starting off with administration. In administration, it's mainly the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services, Ministry, Finance, Management, Assurance Services, Human Resources, and Information Technology, as well as Office Accommodation. This program provides strategic leadership, management, and support to the department. It is labor intensive and has a provision of 5,259 posts. Over the medium term, the admin program is expected to spend 13.1 billion, which is 17.9% of the total vote allocation. The average growth rate for this program is 5.8%. We have also effected a cut on this program on machinery and equipment, as well as so that we reprioritize this funding for health program care, which also had to be funded some sort of reprioritization. On program two provides appropriate services and well-maintained physical infrastructure that supports safe and secure conditions, and it also deals with the administration and profiling of inmates and the consideration of offenders for release or placement into the system of community corrections. This program has 28,003 posts, and in this program we also provide for facilities and infrastructure. That's where sub-program 2 facilities is also housed, which is covered by maintenance, accommodation, and municipal services that I alluded to previously. We have provided funding so that we reduce the number of escapes for correction within correctional centers and remand detention facilities by strengthening staff supervision of inmates and to provide sufficient and effective security equipment to enhance the performance of security duties. The activities such as managing security operations for sentenced offenders, remand detainees, profiling inmates, and compiling needs-based correctional sentence plans and inmate administration, such as admissions and release, are funded in this program. This program comprises the bulk of the department's spending at 45.4 billion over the medium term. The growth rate is 7.1%. Most of the spending on this program is on compensation of employees, which is 69.9% of the program's budget. In 2016-17, the incarceration program had 27,515 funded posts, which is expected to decrease to 27,293 over the medium term. This is as a result of the impact of budgetary cuts and reprioritization to core programs such as rehabilitation. The third program is rehabilitation and provides offenders with the need-based programs and interventions to facilitate their rehabilitation and to enable their social reintegration. This program has a personal count of 2,456 posts. The program has received 5.825 billion over the medium term. 76.1% is allocated to salaries for officials who provide rehabilitation programs. Rehabilitation has the highest increase in terms of average growth over the medium term at 7.6% over the medium term. The remainder of the funds are for the supplies for departmental workshops, which include wood, steel, textile workshops, bakeries, shoe factories, and agricultural facilities. That's where in agriculture we have 21 farms and 96 more sites that are used for self-sufficiency and to provide work opportunities and training and skills development for offenders. Over the medium term, the department plans to increase the percentage of sentenced offenders assigned to correctional programs from 69% to 80%. And maintain the percentage of offenders participating in skills development programs at that percentage. The fourth program is CARE, which provides needs-based care services aimed at maintaining the personal well-being of all inmates in the department's custody. The program received 6.4 billion over the medium term. The growth, average growth over the medium term will be 4.6%. with 1,710 posts that are funded. The bulk of the spending in the program is on goods and services, specifically on agency and support services for nutritional services and food and food supplies to provide both externally and internally prepared rations. Over the medium term, the spending focus under health services will be on providing healthcare services to inmates in order to improve the treatment of HIV, TB, and STIs, as well as to promote personal hygiene services throughout the centers in our facilities. The last program is social reintegration, focuses on offenders' preparation for release, the effective supervision of offenders placed under the system of community correction, and the facilitation of their social integration back into communities. The allocation is 2.7 billion over the medium term. The average growth rate is 5.7%, with 2,207 posts. The bulk of this program spending goes towards COE and related goods and services items due to the labor-intensive nature of the largest sub-program, which is supervision of parolees already out. Over the medium term, spending is mainly on facilitating the social reintegration of offenders into communities through effective management of non-custodial sentences and parolees through electronic monitoring and physical visits by correctional community corrections officials. The next slide, Chairperson, is allocations per economic classification, which I will just indicate that 26% of our budget, 5.9 billion in 17-18, will be on goods and services, and 4% will go towards capital and fixed assets at 941 million. Chairperson, in terms of goods and services for the department, it may appear to be large, but majority of the bulk of the expenditure is towards office accommodation payable to DPW or Public Works, municipal services, which I indicated that is constrained, payments for PPP relating to the two private correctional centers in Mangaung, as well as in Makado, the Kutama Sintumi. Agency and support services for nutritional services, food and food supplies for offenders, as well as contractual payments for repairs and maintenance on correctional facilities. That's in the main way the goods and services of the department goes towards. For payments for capital assets, the bulk of spending is towards infrastructure spending that is implemented in the main by Public Works, the security, the computer equipment, equipment and hiring of ICT equipment, such as photocopiers, and all other equipment funds were reduced to manage budgetary shortfalls in other programs. The allocations per region, and as indicated in slide 47, the four regions, 16.3 billion goes towards all the six regions, and the top three regions, based on the inmate population, is Gauteng at 3.4 billion, Western Cape at 3.2 billion, and KwaZulu-Natal at 2.7 billion. The projected inmate on the next item H, projected inmate and supervision case populations are indicated to show members the steady increase in the projected numbers in terms of parolees, probationers, and sentence offenders at from 2016-17 at 161,667,161,000, projected to grow to 166,449 inmates or combined with parolees and probationers. Item H, I will quickly scan through it, which is just to deal with the sub-programs, Chairperson. Allow me to just indicate that On item I, on program administration, I just want to highlight that the funding for JICS has been now been changed in terms of it is now earmarked, which means that the department does not cannot move funds from the JICS funding, so it's secure and it will grow over the medium term at 5.7%. In 2017-18, they received 69.3 million, of which the department also absorbs the operating leases, which are not included in the 69 million, which we pay for outside of our own budget. On incarceration, the growth rate, as I indicated, it will grow at 7.1%. And as much as we see a big figure in terms of incarceration, I just want to indicate that of the 13.9 billion that is allocated for 17-18, 4.1 billion under incarceration is towards facilities, which is accommodation charges, municipal services, as well as capital infrastructure spending, which is implemented in the main by Public Works. As we move on to rehabilitation, Chairperson, it has got three programs, correctional programs, which will grow by 5.6%, offender development, which will increase over the medium term by 7.7%, and the largest increase is on psychological, social, and spiritual services, which grows by almost 10% from 441 million to 492 million in 2019-20. Second but last program is CARE, which will increase over the medium term by 4.6. Two programs within that sub-program is institutional services as well as health and hygiene services. The last program, Chairperson, is social reintegration with three programs, supervision, which takes the large chunk of the budget due to supervision of parolees, and that entails traveling and fleet expenses, as well as obviously the electronic element of it is situated in that particular sub-program. Community reintegration, as well as office accommodation for community corrections branch. Chairperson, that is the budget for the department, and we thank you for listening to us, and we will take questions from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. I will now take the opportunity of opening up for questions and comments from members. I'll recognize Honorable Self, Honorable Swart, Honorable Hon, Honorable Matthias, Honorable Mwadi, Honorable Bongo. In that order, please. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the briefing. I must say that just looked at from an overview point of view, I think that there's much to celebrate in the budget, because for the first time in many years, the emphasis is changing from incarceration to rehabilitation and social reintegration. And if one takes into account also what the Deputy Minister spoke about, the amendments to the parole conditions and certainly the interstate transfer of offenders, one can reduce the prison population quite dramatically. The last time I looked into it, there are about 30,000 sentenced inmates from SADC countries. So if one could achieve that, one would be able to deal very effectively with the overcrowding situation in the correctional centres. But there is something that really worries me, and that concerns the compensation of the employees. Because if you look at the amount that is being provided for in the medium-term expenditure framework, in the the increase in each year, between this year and the next year and the next year and the following year, is 7.97% and 7.63% in gross terms. And we've been told that that's ring-fenced, it's not going to be reduced in any way, but we are told that the number of employees is going to be reduced. So what that effectively means, if my analysis is correct, is that we are going to go down to about 38,500 odd employees who are going to get more than a inflation rate increase divided amongst fewer of them. Now, because that's what it means. If you've got the allocation towards the payment of compensation of employees increases by above inflation, and the number of employees themselves decrease over the MTF period, it means that the average employee is going to get much, much more money. And I'm just worried about the salary bill of the department and the impact that that is going to have on its ability to be able to deliver services that form part of its core mandate. I think there are some other matters of detail that I'd just like to inquire about. For example, on my slide 42, which deals with rehabilitation, the statement is made that over the medium term, the department plans to increase the percentage of sentence offenders assigned to correctional programs from 69% to 80%, and to maintain the percentage of offenders participating in skills development programs at 80%. Now the question is, are those only sentenced offenders? Are those only sentenced offenders with more than 2 years sentences? Because they obviously, that has an effect on the numbers, on the gross numbers concerned. The final question of detail I'd just like to inquire, because it seems to me intriguing, is that there's an amount of 4 billion rands under head office incarceration. I didn't know the head office incarcerated anyone. But there's 4 billion rands allocated there. And I just want to know, for example, under that heading, there's staff and office accommodation. That does not seem to me to be incarceration. And I'm wondering why it's in that column and not somewhere more logical. Thank you, Chair.
Bart?
Thank you, Chairperson, and our thanks to the Minister and to the Department, the Commissioner, for the presentation. And yes, just to align myself with Mr. Sam, with yourself, there does seem to be an improvement, and congratulations on that aspect. Again, many of you that know me over the years, I've always stood for restorative justice, so it's always good to see an improvement in that, Deputy Minister, so thank you for that. The issue that you raised, Deputy Minister, about the Polesmore case and reporting back on a monthly basis, obviously, if as you indicate, the conditions may be similar in other facilities, it opens the door for other court actions in that regard in other facilities. And yes, we appreciate that you have got severe budgetary constraints. We need, that's a given. But what is one doing to prevent that, or trying to improve conditions in the other facilities along with Polesmore? I realize that Polesmore, you've got to report to the court on a month-to-month basis. But again, one wants to look ahead and avoid similar court cases being brought in other facilities, bearing in mind that according to your annual report last year, there were, I think, 23 court cases that were lost or something, with a lot of legal fees that had to be paid. So that obviously is something that one needs to look at very carefully, whether there are similar conditions in other prisons that would require, that may, firstly, that need to be addressed, but secondly, to then prevent court cases. Mr. Self referred to the reduction in the number of employees that is also set out. Now, what would be the, and again, I understand that these budgetary constraints, but one needs to balance that against the implications for safety of your officers if you are reducing the number of officials. And clearly, as Mr. Self pointed out, if one could have that interstate transfers with a reduction of 30,000, that would help a lot. But will that be considered when you have that planned reduction of employees, the implications for the safety of the officials and, of course, the persons being imprisoned as well? Then, Chairperson, I raised an issue previously about the departmental revenues. And according to your last financial statements of 2015, your revenue was about 129 million. Now, if I understand it correctly, that goes to the central fiscus. It doesn't come to the department. Have any steps been taken? And Chair, maybe this is, again, an issue that we can raise in our report. If the department is raising these funds, why shouldn't it stay with the department? And that will help your shortfall. The department is selling items, making furniture, selling items, and they are expected to take a significant budget cut of 370 million. But they are making 129 was the figure given for the last financial year, 15-16. Surely we could recommend that that amount should be kept. And just on that issue, what would be your budgeted revenue for this financial year? Would it be around that? Because the previous financial year it was 139, then it went to 129. Because obviously it would be, if it stayed with the department, there'd be an incentive to increase the revenues. But if it's just going into the central fiscus, then it's not benefiting the department. Then lastly, we're also aware of the two SIU investigations, and we will also ask the SIU this afternoon. But can you give us an update, or have you been updated at all, as to the progress? And as you know, that was the electronic monitoring system and the appointment of service providers for project management. Those proclamations were issued last year, and have you, as a department or deputy minister, any indication of how far those investigations have been completed? Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Swart. Honourable Hon.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, my first question also turns on the issue of the reduction in posts, and the Honourable Self and Swart has already referred to it. But there's an additional set of numbers or sums that's given in this presentation, which, with all due respect, does not add up. It's said that over the MTEF period, 10,000 posts will be lost by correctional services. Then it's said that none of them will be found in rehabilitation or social reintegration. And then in the presentation, we see that in terms of incarceration, only about 200 posts will be lost. But then, in terms of admin and care, which is the only two sub-programs left, there is not enough posts left to be cut. So, with all respect, and maybe that adds to the question by the Honourable Self in respect of whether the number of posts to be lost or to be cut really talks to the budget, and in terms of the proposed increase in compensation of employees. So I think that needs some clarification from the department, please. And then, Chair, my second question is in respect of bed space to be created. This is a recurring theme, and with the greatest of respect, one of the areas of significant underperformance over the last years from the department side. Now we again hear that there's 18,000 additional bed spaces to be created over the upcoming 10-year period, and the Commissioner says that they have started engaging DPW and Treasury. Now, Treasury is one aspect, but the worrying is his comment that we've started engaging DPW, because at least half of this committee's meetings since 2014 has been spent on addressing the issue of the slow progress in the bulk programs of correctional services. Previously, we were informed that the solution will now be this joint program management from DCS side and DPW, and to now again hear that we've started engaging DPW simply seems not to be in line with previously stated decision that there will be joint operations now. So I think we also need some clarity in respect of that, and also really, Chair, an honest answer as to shouldn't we really focus on just achieving something every year in terms of additional bed space rather again than sort of regurgitating this age-old promise of in 10 years' time we will have 18,000 additional bed spaces. And then lastly, Chair, it was good to hear that in terms of JICS funding as well, we have this ring-fenced amount now, which I think goes some length towards achieving operational independence of JICS. But I think what I want to hear from the department is who's administering these funds? Is it still salaries, for example? Is it still being paid via correctional services? And the reason why I ask this, Chair, is that they seems to be a recurring trend where JICS officials receive their salaries only after month end, which in itself, if one looks at it, can be seen as something that will not enhance the independence of JICS in its operations. And to be fair also to those people, if all other government employees can be fairly certain to at least receive their salaries before the end of the month, then there's no reason why JICS cannot, unless the answer is that they are administering the fund themselves. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Honourable Horn. Honourable Matthias.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, look, the estimates for national expenditure for department attempt to show improvement in certain areas, but it fails to show how the department is complying with the National Treasury instruction in terms of cost containment measures, financing program, which will of course entail greater share of service delivery on and expenditure on courses. It would be fair to ask, how are they living up to that directive? Because over 70% in different programs of the department annual budget allocation is spent on salaries and employee compensation, over 70%, and the rest is spent on other items. It would be important for them to show us how do they work towards compliance with the National Treasury instructions. I'm struggling to find any meaningful shift, and I will be hesitant to agree with Honorable Sales that there's a marked shift from incarceration to rehabilitation in terms of reprioritization. Why? It's because for incarceration, 45.4 billion is spent, whereas on rehabilitation, 5.8 is spent, and on care, 6.4 is allocated, and for social integration, 2.7 is allocated. And all of these three areas, all of them falling under rehabilitation, combined, they don't even come closer to 45.4 billion annual allocation. So I'm struggling to find any shift, as Honorable James would want us to believe. But I'm not in query with him. I'm merely highlighting the lack of shift which he attributes success, for which I don't see any shift. Look at the Institute for Race Relations, Center for Risk Analysis, shares with us some important facts about the quality of life in our country. Worth noting is the information that deals with crime, occurrences of violent crime such as murder, and crime prevention. This may be as a result, of course, of socio-economic dynamics in society. And in that, they show that in Eastern Cape and in the Western Cape, there are incidents of murder cases of 54 per 1,000 people and 53 per 1,000 people in respective provinces. And this may, of course, be carrying an element of a spillover in your inmates population. To what extent do you share information of this nature with the Department of Police, as well as correctional, or what is this, justice, to mitigate the spillover effect of crimes as they are committed, particularly murder crimes, mitigate the spillover of that? We may, of course, be at the point where crime and criminality in the country is much lower. But we anticipate to grow now that we will begin to feel the impact of the junk status. And as the impact manifests itself further and resulting into disruption of social relations, that carries a likelihood of increase crime and criminality. I don't know if you have already felt the impact of us having been downgraded to junk status. But be that be the case, I want to move on to ask you, if you spend that much of money, over 40% on salaries and employee compensation, how, and for which we must commend that your department seems to be one of those that carries a high responsibility and level of consciousness for job creation and to ensure that you draw in as many people as possible into the department. Hence, you describe yourself as labor-intensive department, which is commendable. But I want to know if this is the spending pattern. How do you hope to shift that and ensure that there is there's a 60-40 balance ratio of what you spend on employee compensation and salaries and what you spend on core functions? What is triple P? I guess triple P is public-private partnership. And what are agencies which you refer to as agents in relation to catering and for food supply? I'm asking this question to ask a secondary question. Does the department have internal capacity to provide all of these services other than to depend on triple P's? And what are the agencies? Are these what you may refer to as brokers or service, what is this, tenders, and people who provide tenders to you, or external agencies you acquire their services through tender system. And if that is the case, why do you hide that and you refer to that as agencies? You have got the capacity to provide these services internally other than to rely to triple P's, agencies which are undescribed, undefined. We don't know who they are and all of that. Lastly, what I can tell you, in this that you try to hide under fancy names such as agencies and all of that, there's a great deal of corruption, cronyism, and all of that. And expansion of patronage through tender system. Facilities. How many of the facilities that you have are state-owned? And how many are privately constructed? And once they've been constructed privately, such as the one in Bloemfontein, the Group 4, if I'm not mistaken, which is constructed through private capital investment. And if we were to build these centers, facilities ourselves as government and state, what would be the cost model and cost effectiveness of that? And in the maintenance and sustenance of such facilities, how would government ensure that there is a reduction of costs and spending unreasonable amounts of money if those would be built and maintained by government rather than to rely on private investors?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias. Honorable Mari.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Deputy Minister and the Commissioner. Well, Chair, almost all my questions have been covered by my colleagues. That's a disadvantage of being the last speaker. And Honorable Matthias has also covered a lot on those triple P's. But I can just make a comment, Chair, for clarity, on page 42. When the department says it manages, I think it's about 21 farms. They are managing 21 farms and small sites for the reason of self-sufficiency. But then they also say, and to provide work opportunities for offenders. Unless I'm wrong, that would mean that offenders are actually employed in a literal way of employment and getting salaries to work on these farms. Am I wrong? Maybe if they can clarify that, or they were trying to say it's one of the ways to provide skills development to offenders, because working on the farms, there's a particular skill that we must acquire. That's the clarity that, Chair, maybe I would require. But Honorable Matthias has also touched on this issue of service providers or private companies providing services. I want to know from the department as to, well, it might not be here in the presentation, but it's an interest, Chair. How many, if any, cooperatives that they are working with to get some of the services? Remember, Chair, it's part of government. We suppose also to uplift our communities in various ways, whether by assisting cooperatives or small businesses as well. Where do they get these goods, all of them? Because I would have a problem if they only buy well-established big shops only and not consider the cooperatives, especially on things like the uniform for offenders. You know, our mothers are doing all those things. One is to check on that, Chair. Yes. Oh, no, for clarity, if I'm saying our mothers, my mother is not doing that. I'm just explaining that in the community to find those mothers who are the co-op of sewing and all those school uniform and all those things. That's it.
No, we understand.
There's no conflict of interest.
We understand, Honorable Mwabi. Putting it in the African way of saying your child is my child, which means your mother will be my mother. Okay, Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for the presentation. And I wish to say this, that we can say to the Minister that we wish he joins us soon and recover speedily. We appreciate the presentation. The presentation, I agree with Honorable Self that it has a lot of improvements from where I look at it. It was in this committee that we said the whole concentration must move from incarceration to social reintegration and rehabilitation. And if I look at page 33, I do see, as opposed to Honorable Matthias saying, I see a progressive realization. If you took the, we take 2013-14, 2014-15, and 15-16, there is some progressive realization of increasing the budget. And secondly, it's around the issue of JICS. I want you to comment around the case that was brought by the social what do you call it? Sisonga gender justice. How far is that particular case? Does this report that you give or the plan around JICS take care of those issues that were raised at that level? And then the third one will be around also to say, to commend the department around the unqualified audit report. I think it's one of its own kind. Since 1994, the dawn of democracy, there has never been such an audit report. We need to commend you at that level. There's an issue that is being raised by all other colleagues around the vacancy rate vis-a-vis the outer years in terms of the medium-term framework. My interest will be coupled with whatever they've raised. There was a matter which we have raised sharply with the committee that there was a challenge on those who are employed in terms of the Public Service Act and those who are employed in terms of the Correctional Services Act. What may be the plans around those issues, because part of the reports we get in the past was that there are some technical glitches around these two acts. So if you may share with us in terms of your plan around the acts. And in terms of, you say a lot that you own a lot of infrastructure. And today you're also saying you see there are some farms where there are some activities. I want to know what is the plan around, because this is linked to what we cry about, the budgetary constraints. What may be our plan to use the same infrastructure and use the same, as Honorable Swartz said, all these things that have been produced by the farm, to take the money back, because I think a treasurer may not be antagonistic to that, all the money that we must not go to the central treasury account, but they be ring-fenced to assist the department there. Particularly, what may be important, how to use this infrastructure to produce funding, because the infrastructure that you say you have may assist a lot in terms of bringing or assisting in around the issue of funding. Because we can't cry foul all the way, as we see the fiscals are going down every year. So we may have to have a progressive way of using the infrastructure, including, among others, selling some of the infrastructure, because we had said the infrastructure is decaying, some of it, so that we are able to deal with the issues of budget. Then other issues of employment may be dealt with there. You raised in the past the issues around public works. I just want to know the extent to which we have now agreed with public works so that they can be able to discharge their obligations. Otherwise, the last time you said you were supposed to have a service level agreement. Is that in place? Is everything hunky-dory now? I think I will have that an interest to know that. Other than that, Chair, maybe if the second round will come back.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo. Just to add, maybe if we can be provided with progress in relation to electronic monitoring system, including the cameras, to deal with some of the challenges we've had, like all forms of violence that is actually experienced in the correctional centers. Previously, there was information to the effect that there was an inmate that at some point was found to have managed to do 31,000 telephone calls from the correctional center. We then subsequently advise you to look into the possibility of working on gadgets for disabling cell phones, how far we would get. It will be important to just indicate. I'm also worried about staff reduction because, you know, we're still grappling with the triple challenges, poverty, unemployment, and inequalities in South Africa. And if we've got to do staff reduction, it means we are actually continuing to contribute to what is a crisis in South Africa. If that can be looked at carefully before we actually proceed with the Deputy Minister. And then in your report, CFO, you said that you didn't have any form of vehemence on compensation of employees. I couldn't quite get you, because I guess if funds are not utilized in terms of the Public and Finance and Management Act, what naturally should then happen is instituting vehemence of funds to other areas. But in this case, you said you didn't do any vehemence. I don't quite understand it. And then your payment for capital assets does not talk to the 21 farms. This is to add on what Honorable Bongo has actually indicated, because we are a little bit disabled when it comes to operations on the farms. And on the 21 farms that you have actually indicated, and the 96 small size. If payment for capital assets can actually also manage to talk to this, because we've actually been told previously that nothing is really happening because of lack of equipment or obsolete equipment that you have on the farms. Municipal services. Previously, we identified big electricity bills, and then we said there should be a special project to look at how to reduce the electricity bills. We didn't quite get that. We even talked about solar system and things like that for electricity and other ways of actually managing to access water. Is there any progress in this regard? If yes, please indicate so. I would agree with Honorable Matthias that sharing information that you've got can actually help to enhance other processes within the country and in government. Sharing with SSA, sharing with monitoring and evaluation department to allow the country to make inferences that may actually lead to logical outcomes that will influence general planning. He talked about various types of crimes that could actually probably assist the police in terms of their strategy. There has been reports about the number of inmates that are foreigners. And even that that we need to actually be in the position to look at it, the South Africa, and decide as to how we can best deal with it, because then it actually overloads our system, when in actual fact maybe this should actually be somebody else's problem. We'll open for a response from the department. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for the questions. I'm going to propose that the department officials sitting at appropriate places where the information that is being solicited is found should come in and provide that information by way of answering the questions that were put by members. But let me call in the National Commissioner first, and where there is a need for further details to be provided, then the other officials who are here will be able to assist. I'll come in at the end, Chairperson, should there be, you know, areas that in my notes here, we should provide further comments in order to contextualize some of the issues that the honorable members are concerned about. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you, Deputy Minister, and members of the committee. As indicated earlier this morning, I'm here with the team from the National Office, who will also assist in responding to particular questions. I would like to start with the Polsmore Remand Detention Facility, the case by Judge Saldana, Western Cape High Court. Indeed, Chairperson and members, the situation at Polsmore at that time, you find also similar situations in other facilities throughout the country. And the commitment that we have made was to establish a team that will look into trends and see how we can reduce the overcrowding and ensure that offender privileges and rights are observed. But we were also ably assisted by the cluster partners from the Justice Crime and Prevention Strategy, Police, Justice, National Prosecution, to address the situation, and as well as the Office of the Chief Justice. The National Efficiency Enhancement Team gets regular reports on our overcrowding levels. I must say that immediately after the visit by Justice Cameron, the Public Service Commission also conducted audits in all of these facilities, the Big Five, Portsmouth, Westville, Kosimampuru, Johannesburg. The one that is outstanding is Albany, to look at what is the situation, what are offender official ratio, what is the state of the infrastructure, as well as to, is the budget adequate. And the stronger gender justice response by the department addressed the issues and indicated how we think this needs to be done. In particular, Chairperson and members, was the commitment by the JTPS cluster departments to work with us to ensure that the numbers are reduced, but also through diversion programs at cost that less and less people are sent to our facilities. And that has also resulted in us being able to reduce the level of overcrowding. At Kosimampuru, Chairperson and members, because we had similar situation, the overcrowding at the remand detention facility is 9% only. In other words, they have 109%. And the same can be said about Westville, which is at 136%. And your food flay is also around 15%. Johannesburg, we currently are working on it to also bring it down to acceptable levels, where we would then observe the rise and privileges of our inmates. The interaction and collaboration that is sought by the award by Judge Saldana, as well as the Public Service Commission, was that correctional services must work with Department of Justice, must work with Public Works, must work with DPSA, National Treasury, to look at how do we overcome these challenges, because these challenges are almost at each and every one of our bigger institutions. National Treasury to see how they look at funding GCS differently, Public Works to look at putting up facilities, DPSA to increase our establishment. We have met already with all the directors general, and a submission is underway to the JTPS, DG Cluster, and DEFCON, which will also subsequently go to cabinet to indicate our situation in that we need a different approach to our staffing levels, our budget allocation, and our infrastructure development. I think, Chairperson, on that one, I can assure committee members and yourself that there is attention that has been given. As we speak, Polsmo was at 161% at the end of April, and it is our commitment that by the end of this month, May, we shall be at 150%, not only in terms of workload, but also in terms of what are the services that are provided to offenders, privileges, rights, and so forth, so that we ensure compliance to our constitution as well as the Correctional Services Act. And that approach is going to be taken nationwide to ensure that we incarcerate under humane conditions. Chairperson, there is also an issue that members are raising regarding the reduction in the number of employees, as is indicated in our presentation. Indeed, that is the case. Our baseline has been cut over the MTF period to over 230 million. And that results in positions not being funded. But what has also contributed to that, Chairperson and members, is us concluding the OSD second phase, which has been a thorn in our flesh and also a problem that you kept on raising with us when we finalized that. But there is a silver lining at the end of the tunnel, Chairperson, that with the resignations that we have had, we will have adequate budget to employ more people to come and assist us, because we will then employ at lower levels than at the levels that some of our staff have resigned. And that would then enable us for a position, maybe appoint two or three people more. We have just absorbed 2017 learners, and we will be going out on a recruitment objective again to see how we can then overcome and fill the positions that are vacant in the department. Our challenge in vacancies is regarding promotional positions, which at the end of the financial year, we are just around 10%, but with the absorption of the learners, we are now at around 7.4%. Chairperson, regarding the SI investigations that the honorable member requested in terms of electronic tagging and the service provider to do project management, the MSW investigation, Chairperson, is almost complete, and already we have had internal disciplinary cases that is concluded, and it will then be taken further. The head of the SIU will be able to provide you with a factual report in that regard. The electronic tagging as well is almost at the point of being concluded. The matter is now before the court, because the SIU has made a recommendation that that contract be cancelled, and therefore it's a matter that will be decided in court as to how do we continue from there. Chairperson, our relationship with the National Department of Public Works, indeed there were challenges before, but now things have improved to a very large extent. Cooperation between myself and the DG of Public Works, including my staff, CDC Smallberger, who heads the facility, and also from that end, in Public Works, we have regular meetings, and our plans to increase bed capacity are now at a very advanced stage with Public Works, as well as National Treasury. Part of the Sonke Gender Justice was also to look at accommodation needs, and we have then approached Public Works and National Treasury to look at that differently. We will be considering all options and funding models, including the triple P, but with the variance of correctional services operating instead of the service provider building and operating. In this case, if we consider that, we'll then be the ones that operate that institution. We have the two facilities, the Kutama and Kimule in Makado, and as well as Mangaung in Bloemfontein. The Mangaung contract started on the 1st of March 2001, and the one in Kutama started on the 1st of July 2002. What has been working to the contract is that after a period of 10 years, then the facility becomes government property, and government must then see to it that it takes over the maintenance of that institution. And after the period has elapsed of the PDP, then it will take entirely everything, including the operation. So the Mangaung correctional facility has been taken over by government, and we are currently awaiting an audit so that we are able to then establish what intervention we can make regarding the maintenance of that institution. And I need to really indicate to committee members that the relationship between Public Works and correctional services is even enhanced by the participation and involvement of the executive, both sides, where we then sit together, deputy minister and deputy minister that side, and minister, to see how we can resolve this. The committee will remember, we had said at some stage, even last year when minister was making his budget vote speech, to say that we want to build capacity so that the department and its offender population can be able to maintain its own buildings and, where possible, build accommodation. And we have gone to a very large extent in acquiring capable people that would then make up for us a unit at head office that would oversee the maintenance as well as the building of infrastructure. We have further appointed at each and every region at director level, qualified officials in terms of quantity surveying, in terms of maintenance, who are then responsible for each and every project that we have in the region. That they are the ones that then oversee that program, project together with Public Works, and regular meetings being attended by CDC Smallberg and myself, then give us feedback as to how these projects are moving. What was important, what the honorable member asked, was the cost to build and the cost to procure through a PPP. This committee would know that we had one project, which is Tswelo Pele in Kimberley, which government built on its own, and then the other PPPs, the two PPPs. And at the end of the completion of the building at Tswelo Pele, it came out that we spent more than what we had thought we would spend at the end of the day. In its initial stage, it was at 352 million, but as it progressed, it became even double that amount, and even surpassed that amount. So, and it was during the time of the 2010 World Cup that we built in Kimberley, and material, especially steel and cement, was at a very high prices. So that balance and that appreciation shall have to be done to ensure that when we go out to build, we then opt for the best method. Chairperson, I would like that Mr. Khoza to respond to the JIGS funding. I can say at this point, because I'm involved together with CDC Smallberg again and our legal department and the presidency to resolve the Songhe Gender Justice application, but to look at what are issues that are raised by the Judicial Inspectorate and also civil society. And we are in agreement that there are issues that we can resolve, that we can go to a point where we even consider amendment of the legislation, but also look at how do we enhance the independence of the Judicial Inspectorate. And the sections that are there in the Act, the Correctional Services Act, we are looking at together with the presidency as to whether we can have a separate legislation for JICS, and that JICS becomes a standalone, have its own organizational structure, have its own budget, similar to the other government institutions that we have that are operating in that manner. I think that can assist the honorable member. Indeed, Chairperson, over a period of time, we have come to this committee to say we want to create so much less space, and we have not succeeded in doing that because of a number of problems. Some of the service providers, the construction companies that we had employed, were not able to deliver on time. Others are liquidated. It was a real challenge, and we can provide better details in that regard, but safe to say that it started when we even started here in the Western Cape with Brand Play, Ceres, and Van Rijnsdorp, where we had serious problems, and then it ended up at Zanin, Shepperton. We now have a new contract on site, and as well as CMEX. The only project that is performing on time is Standerton, and Shepperton, we are about to take over that institution. Phase one of it is complete. It's just a matter of now a check, or what they call a snack list check. And once that has been done, we shall then be in a situation, we shall be empowered to take over that institution finally. Chairperson, regarding our what we call prison farms. Indeed, we have our prison farms that are being operated as a farm, huge prison farms where we utilize offender labor, where they are able to get a gratuity. Gratuity is a small amount that says you can only buy tobacco, it's not an employment. But what is critical about our farms is to teach them and develop their skills and ensure that once they are out of our facility, they have a skill, they have an accredited skill, and as well as a diploma that they can then utilize for themselves. The farms are doing good. We also went through the drought that we experienced last year, but at least we were in a better position because most of our cattle are being put in a crawl daily. And we were then able to, through the CFO, reprioritize to have more feed and for our cattle and our sheep and so forth. Our pigs are all in close localities, and therefore our situation as compared to an ordinary farmer was not as dire as their situation was. Chairperson, I must stress the fact that where we don't have farms, we have sites where we also produce agriculture. The second part of the question that the members were asking, the revenue that comes from all of this produce in terms of agriculture, but also in terms of furniture and so forth, indeed goes to the central fund, the fiscal. We are at a very advanced stage with National Treasury. Indeed, they have indicated that it will be done, that ourselves and the Defense Force and all other departments that are generating income, that it then be diverted back to the department so that we can then be able to increase that capacity, but also to close off some of the challenges that we have in terms of funding. And in our case, I think the CFO will indicate what is it that we have projected as possible income for this current financial year 17-18. But it also forms for us a very important outlet for offenders to go and work and create working opportunities. Uniform by offenders, Chairperson. The department buys material. The offenders are taken through a project to learn how to sew and cut, and we manufacture our own uniform. The orange uniform and the yellow uniform is being manufactured by offenders. We have almost in every region, a workshop where offender uniform is being manufactured, including uniform for officials that also gets to be manufactured. We only buy material that has been cut already. We also manufacture shoes for offenders and the underwear and the towels and face cloth. And once they have qualified themselves, they get accredited and get an assistant certificate. Chairperson, I think I would like to pause here so that I can then give to colleagues as well to respond. But maybe just to conclude, this one of the 31 calls, indeed, it was true that an offender, that time when he was out in trial, had made this number of calls here at Baltimore and created a lot of trouble for ourselves, but also for the entire criminal justice system. Because some of the hits were organized, we believe, from Baltimore. We, however, have thought that this inmate be removed from this environment. We are currently considering putting up cell phone detection systems in all of our facilities that we are constructing, but also how do we put a system that would ensure that the network, cell phone network is completely not available. We will definitely be providing that information to the committee as soon as we are ready, but I can assure the committee that that is where we are regarding cell phone detection and cell phone call barring in our facility. It is still a problem, and a problem that we definitely would like to address as a matter of agency. Correctional services, as I said, forms part of the JCPS cluster. Locally, your head of center works together with the magistrate and the station commander. Where there are problems, they, on a monthly basis, they meet and discuss problems and strategies of how do they address crime in that area. And it then goes further to your area commissioner and the regional commissioner and provincial commissioner, and as well as to myself in the JCPS DG cluster, but also importantly to the NEC, where we provide regular reports and together, because it's not only us, it's the Home Affairs, it's Correctional Services, it's the police, it's the NPA, it's justice, and we sit down and we look at what are trends, what needs to be done, and how should we go about doing that. Chief Justice Chairperson has committed taking the NEC project forward and ensuring that information from that engagement should then be forwarded to the executive by the Chief Justice himself and the Commissioner of Police, so that we are able then, when the police make their reports about crime levels and crime stats, we are then also able to indicate what strategies are being put in place to address criminality in our country. Chairperson, I would like to pause here and ask colleagues to come in on the other points that have been raised, which I have not responded to. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, with regards to the question, the question of concern raised by Honorable One, is that the JICS people that are paid after the month end, I confirm that they are indeed paid after the month end solely because they are contract employees that are appointed on contract basis, and those are the independent prison visitors. So they work for a month, and after on completion of the month, they submit their claims, and obviously they will be paid after the month end because they are not on a fixed term contract. Their salaries are running automatically; they can able to be paid as such. But that has been addressed at this point in time because we have now created the permanent positions, so which will be advertised, and most of them probably they will be absorbed in those positions. So it's not going to be a problem as such. Thank you.
Whilst you are still at it,
question, HR, will you deal with the dichotomy between employees who are employed under the Public Service Act and those who are employed under the Correctional Services Act? That's raised by the Honourable.
With regards to the Public Service Act appointments and Correctional Services Act appointments, so we have as a department two streams. We have people that are appointed on Public Service Act, which are mostly doing the administration, and mostly are situated in the head office and the regional office, as well as in the management area headquarters. Then in terms of Correctional Services Act, we have people that are seated in head office who are confined to being able to do the administration of the core business. They are appointed under Correctional Services Act. And also in the regional office, we have some of them, very few. And then in the management area, in the core business, we've got a whole lot of numbers that are appointed under Correctional Services Act that are doing rehabilitation, that are doing incarcerations and corrections. So, but at this point in time, because of the inception of the OSD, in the 2009, we are compelled to have those streams, which at this point in time we had also observed that it has not making good for us. We are in the process of reviewing that, focusing at the management area level to be able to make everyone in the management area to be under Correctional Services Act, so that we can be able to increase the number that we will be doing the core business, making sure that the members are really available at the management area to respond to any emergency or any anomalies. Thank you.
CFO, maybe on that one that you just mentioned, what would be also important, you may not do it now, but in future, the time frames as to by when do you think how all of this will actually be effective. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to respond to the question raised by Honorable Self regarding the head office incarceration budget. The program for incarceration has got under it facilities sub-program, and those funds are centralized at head office, and we are talking of funds such as the payment for the CPP correction centers, which regions are not accountable for, payment for municipal services, as well as leases, operating leases that are managed at a centrally located place, which is head office. So in the main, and as well as capital work, the project. So those funds will reflect at head office, but it's actually running the services at the respective regions. The second question was from Honorable Swart regarding the revenue. For 17-18, we're projecting revenue of 132.3 million. We've already engaged Treasury, as the National Commissioner has indicated. They are amenable to us retaining a portion depending on the formula that we'll agree on. Those are the processes that will only take effect during the current financial year's MTEP process. With respect to whether the department complies with cost containment measures, we do comply to those cost containment measures. In fact, due to our budgetary constraints on goods and services, ours are even more stringent than Treasury, so we do comply to that. Some of them include, as advised by National Treasury, we started even earlier in quarter three, where even when we process tenders, we engage in negotiations so that we get reduced rates. We're also looking at economies of scale, where we look at longer-term contracts where we will be able to negotiate lower tariffs to avoid repetitive or quotation basis, which turn out to be much more expensive. Chairperson, the issue of violence, you asked, it was in relation to the fact that in the previous financial year, 16-17, we did not effect violence from compensation to fund with the services. We had to implement drastic measures in terms of slowing down expenditure on goods and services itself so that it funds itself. With due to the reason that there was commitment from the executive to implement the longer standing settlement agreement on OSD, which is occupational specific dispensation. So had we made vehemence out of COE, then we would not have been able to fund that commitment. So we implemented those constant payment measures. On payment for capital assets, each and every program has a budget for payment for capital assets. We just reduced it. So even rehabilitation would receive funding for items such as milking machines and agricultural implements such as tractors and so forth. So we do have a portion of the budget allocated in that respect. Thank you, Chairman.
Chairperson, maybe just clarity on one aspect which was mentioned by the Honourable Mr. Sell. In terms of the offenders from SADC countries, it's not 30,000. It is for the 2015-16 financial year, it was 9,296, of which 3,595 remanded detainees and 5,701 sentenced. And for the past financial year, 16-17, the total was 9,242, and the breakdown is almost the same as the previous year. Chairperson, maybe also, if I may, just to add what the National Commissioner was saying on the question on the farms, I can maybe just provide some further details by saying we do have operational targets for all farm products. For example, for vegetables, the target for the previous year was 7.3 million kilograms. For fruit, it was 501,000 kilograms. Milk, 5 million liters. Red meat, 390,000 kgs. Pork, 2 million kgs. Chicken, 1.4 million kgs. And eggs, 1.3 million dozen. Just to give an indication of what is happening on the farms, and all those produce are obviously finding its way to the nutritional service of offenders. That also makes the expenditure a little bit less in terms of using the self-sufficiency of those projects. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Smolte. That is very impressive, your last input. But you haven't actually managed to quantify CFO, so that we can see how it actually then helped to reduce the budget. Maybe in future you need to do that, because we're not actually aware of this, and this is what we've been advocating for all the time. I don't know whether the member still, I can see Honourable Mateus wants to make a follow-up.
You say, Madam Chair, you're right.
It's very impressive. This information is very impressive. It would also be good if, in the follow-up presentations, this information is quantified in order for us to determine exactly your point, to what extent does that contribute in cost reduction, to what extent is that contributing to cutting out the middlemen, tenderpreneurs and people like those who are providing these services such as catering and all of that. Because if this is what is produced, when one questions the relevance of middlemen in a form of provision of catering and food supply and all of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Honourable Self?
Thank you, Ran. I'm just not quite certain whether my question around the remuneration for employees was properly answered, because, as I said, the quantum of money that is being provided in the medium-term expenditure framework is rising by more than 7% a year, but the number of employees is reducing over the same period. Why is that? It's a simple question.
From the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. The implementation of the OSD agreement, which includes payment backlogs, payment of backlogs of increasing of our salary bill in the next 3 years is going to rise because of the payment of the backlog. And in addition, the salaries will also increase in terms of scales of those who are now being recognized to go into the OSD scale will also go up with the same numbers of people, which means that per unit cost, our salary bill, per unit cost on average is going to rise in the next 3 years, and the reduction in the number of employees. And in the main is the OSD, plus obviously the compounded by the cut, you know, of 200 odd million every financial year on the budget.
Thank you very much. I guess this brings us to the end of our business today. Let me take the opportunity of thanking. Oh, Jigs, yes. It's today. Yes, it is today. Our agenda says department and Jigs. We've been talking so much about Jigs that it was almost starting to feel like we have addressed your area. Can we have let's have a 5 minutes comfort break, and then Jigs will then present his things.
They're not speaking to me on what they are doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Mabane.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we conclude this morning's business, I just want to indicate that officially the APP for Correctional Services has been presented this morning. If there's anything that you think maybe has not been addressed, you could actually indicate so. You're fine. Okay, great. The Deputy Minister will then round off this morning's business, and then we can proceed.
Chair, once again, thank you very much, and to honourable members. The annual plans we have just presented, Chairperson, will be the subject of our debate of the vote in Parliament in a few weeks, days from now. From the Ministry, it will accord us, of course, the opportunity to make comments broadly, but also including comments on some of the sentiments expressed by the members here. I do not wish to do that now because it is not like there is going to be any change mesh. It's a matter that we will return to when we have our budget debate in Parliament. Some of the comments made. Chairperson, at the beginning of the meeting, I introduced the Department of Defense, Correctional Services Management, and if honorable members would have noted, I did not make reference to Jigs, simply because at the time we started the meeting, Jigs was not in the house, and I was not sure whether they are considered to be part of today's presentation of the plans. But I just want to make this point, Chairperson, that in relation to this documentation, it is a view in the Ministry that JICS is not properly managed in that things being equal, JICS plans for the year should constitute an addendum to the plans of the Department of Correctional Services that are before you. Because in the plans of the department, it is reflected there as a line item under administration, but the details of its activities for the year are not contained anywhere in our annual plans there. It would, going forward, be a more efficient practice to have the plans of JICS reflected as an addendum to the annual plans of the of the Department of Correctional Service until we get to the ideal situation where JICS organizationally can be, you know, properly, you know, accounted, you know, for to, I mean, its activities to Parliament. I'm going to give over to the acting CEO of JICS to give a summary of what their plans highlights are for the year. Suffice to say that part of the priorities at the beginning of the financial year we are discussing, the previous financial year and the plans for this year, our priority was to make sure that the footprint of JICS mirrors that of the Department of Correctional Services. The department at the moment has six regions, which in our ideal view should be rolled out to be actually nine regions, and once they become nine regions, they become the nine provinces of the department, in order to make you know, the department to be, you know, better managed. And when that happens, it also means that the JICS also would benefit from the further spreading of its footprint to mirror the department as it is being unbundled in that way. Critically in JICS function is to provide access to offenders, inmates, to recourse where the internal processes of the department fails to pick up whatever crease or grievance that is there. And they do this through the, you know, dedicated, you know, visitors who undertake this work. In a situation where the infrastructure of JICS is not evenly spread across the entire country, when the entire country has correctional services, correctional centers, then by implication, logically, there would be, you know, correctional services centers where JICS is unable to reach the population of those who are behind, you know, bars. That, for us in the ministry, was the priority for this previous financial year. And it is important that as we are discussing resources for JICS, members must, you know, be alive to that desire within the ministry as far as JICS is concerned with respect to its plans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, I think, and thank you for the introduction. And to actually indicate that, yes, we need to see JICS developing. But at the same time, we need to be conscious of financial implication of everything that we are actually thinking of. Because I'm just looking at the situation now as it is, that we are actually cutting down on costs for the department itself. And as we plan moving forward for JICS, we need to bear that in mind. The plans are good. Thank you. Can we have the CEO presenting to us?
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And of course, thank very much, Honorable DM, for correctly representing us. What the DM has said is correctly what is our intention. May I please also apologize that I'm having flu. Maybe if you hear that my voice is not that much good. Quickly, I'm just going to briefly so talk through our strategic status of JICS and also our targets, annual performance plan indicators. The current strategic status of JICS is that JICS exists as a standalone sub-program under the DCS Program 1, as the Honorable DM has just mentioned. Then our strategic objectives is to provide effective independent oversight relating to the treatment of inmates and condition in correctional facilities and triple P. Then our annual performance plan indicator is that the percentage of correctional facilities, including the triple P's, inspected on the conditions and treatment of inmates. Then in relation to the annual performance plan indicators target, we have a target of 81 inspections targeted for the year, for the fiscal year. Spread in this order, that in quarter one we target 2021 in quarter.
Honorable Matthias has got his hand up.
Well, this is done not to disrespect the official year, but may I check, do we have documents that have been made available so that he talks to what we can also relate to? And this I'm asking because he arrived late with his delegation. Secondly, there's a sense that JICS is a stepchild in the Correctional Services and Justice Department in the manner in which the Deputy Minister watched his end of this critical component. So then that begs the question and an answer for it. Do we've got documents that we can refer to?
JICS has not submitted anything.
Yeah, but over and above that, our annual performance plan are being captured in the annual performance plan of the department. They are there. Just that this is an elaboration of what is there in DCS. What's that?
Yeah.
Which therefore means that in the morning I wasn't really terribly lost when I forgot JICS. Because my view was that we kept on making reference to JICS, and it felt like we had covered JICS.
Mm.
And maybe even JICS itself was coming here not thinking that they're supposed to be presenting. So I guess maybe we shouldn't really try and open up for you to present on something that has not been submitted to Parliament. If you have been covered in the department APP, then it then therefore means that we are done with our business for the morning. For us as to how he thinks we should actually proceed with the business.
Now, thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. The point I was making earlier on was that with respect to JICS activities and how they are accounted for to the Portfolio Committee, the current practice is not ideal. It is not ideal because, you see, I am not even aware that you do not have any document in your possession that contains JICS plans for the year. Things being equal, JICS plans must be contained in the details with respect to
to all of the different classification of spending that JICS is going to be incurring from the monies that they are given for the year. That information is not contained in the report. And I said that that is an ideal situation, just to sensitize the committee that as far as the ministry is concerned, the current practice is a matter we must make sure that there is an improvement on. You were showing me a slide, which is details under one of the sub programs there. That slide talks about visits, and that's all. But that's not how how JICS must account to the portfolio committee, because it does not give you a sense of how much of the money that you give them is spent on, on the personnel, on human resources, how much of the money that you give them is spent on operations, with the actual visits to these correctional centers, how much money is spent on the rolling out the infrastructure that they need, the assets that they have. It does not, you don't have that picture in the plans that we have, that before you. So I should not actually, more time for the committee. All I was raising was that from the ministry, the plans of JICS are not adequately made visible in the documentation that is before Parliament, and that we must have that corrected going forward. That is the point that I was making.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I guess the department will actually have to sort this out. And also, we shouldn't have a flip-flop approach to JICS. This is what is being said here. We need to just understand as to how it's actually JICS is located within the business of the department. What previously has been discussed is that there has been advocacy to independence of JICS, but we have not reached the point where JICS is independent already. So we, in the manner in which we do our business, I think we should actually take cognizance of that, what is in the pipeline, what is being negotiated, in comparison to what we have at hand. So for now, I think what we are actually saying is that we have covered JICS in the morning discussions. It may not have been in detail, as the Deputy Minister is saying, for now we take it that the APP presented by the department this morning was inclusive of JICS. And if members feel that there are areas that they are concerned about, we should raise the concerns so that that information can then follow later. Any comments from you members?
Agreed,
thank you. Can I then thank the department for having come and present before us this morning and declare this meeting closed. Thanks. We will meet at 2 o'clock, M514, members, for presentation by OCJ. And there's lunch for members downstairs. Yeah, Dima.
Downstairs, right? Hey, yo. Too much of a summer.
Oh, you are a darling.
Yeah.
Even the previous one.